This is Trends and Issues in Instructional Design, Educational Technology, and Learning Science, hosted by Abby Brown and Tim Green.
Hi, this is Tim, and I'm here with Abby.
Hi, this is Abby, and I'm here with Tim.
Welcome to episode 182 of our podcast, where we review the trends and issues in instructional design, educational technology, and learning sciences that we observed as we flipped resources into our Flipboard magazine over the past 2 weeks. In this episode, we have four trends we are going to share, along with a recommended reading that goes with each of these trends. We end the episode by peering into the crystal ball and making predictions about the trends we believe we'll observe in the upcoming 2 weeks. So Abby, start us off by sharing our four trends and our recommended readings.
Thank you, Tim. Yes, we have four trends as we always do. The two top trends had lots of articles that we flipped. The second two trends, the numbers 3 and 4, fewer articles, but still more than any others. Therefore, they form trends number 3 and 4. So trend number one, no surprise to anyone who's ever listened to any of our podcasts, hardware and software. We flipped a lot of articles about hardware and software into our Flipboard magazine these past 2 weeks. Many of them had to do with Microsoft in a variety of ways. So for example, Microsoft is discontinuing Windows 10 November 2019 update OS. And so, the update for Windows. So they've given people plenty of warning about this, but if anybody's using a Windows operating system, they need to update to the latest one sometime within the upcoming months. Also in Microsoft, there was a Microsoft Edge bug report, a fairly serious one where Edge wouldn't shut down when it was supposed to. So that's a good thing to be aware of. We had articles about the global computer chip shortage, which we had mentioned in an earlier episode, and I think anyone who's been paying attention to the international news knows that computer chips are at a premium right now because they're used in so many different things, and because the need for, or the requests for computing tools during the pandemic increased so significantly, this caused kind of a shortage of computer chips. It's possible to produce them, they just hadn't planned to produce quite as many. So the shortage won't last forever. It's just something to be aware of now. For the Apple users, iOS update. The latest iOS update for phones and iPads is considered critical in terms of security. So all of our listeners who are using anything that has an iOS, time to update if you haven't done so in the past week. The FCC in the United States is, the Federal Communications Commission, is starting to ask U.S. citizens what internet services are actually available in their region. This is a fascinating switch because they now actually have set up, you can take a little survey online that lets the FCC know what you actually have available in your area. Up to this point, FCC has always been making its best guess based on their own, at the main office, whoever's making sort of a decision saying, I think they probably have this, you know, here. So this is a little better in terms of data available to them. An introduction to Google Classroom, that was a single article that we flipped. Facebook is building an Instagram for kids. And Tim, you and I joked when we looked at this a little bit going,
right,
they need one for kids?
And isn't that who it was for?
Right, but that's not true, right, obviously, right, that the Facebook's rules, its policies are that you're supposed to be, I think, 13 or 14?
Yeah, 13. I think it's 13.
Or older, right, to use. So they're now thinking in terms of building an Instagram that's specifically for the much younger crowd.
Wow. I don't know what I think about that, but it'll be interesting to see.
I'm not sure either. Yeah. So the recommended read is a Microsoft-related read. Microsoft PowerPoint can now help you practice presentations almost anywhere. No humans required. By Mitchell Clark for The Verge. And once again, as always, I am apologizing in advance for any mispronunciations of authors' names. It's entirely my fault. But This is an article about Microsoft PowerPoint's Presenter Coach software, which is currently available on the web-based versions of PowerPoint, but it's coming to the desktop and mobile versions. And it looks interesting. It provides a great deal of feedback in terms of pacing, timing, a lot of other things, so that you can kind of run through your presentation and give yourself some, or receive some, automated feedback that says, here's what's going on as you're presenting, so you can make some adjustments before you actually go up in front of your audience. Our trend number two is, well, you know, Tim, we were talking about this before. We weren't quite sure what to call this. They all fit into the same category, but we've decided just to call it getting through the pandemic, because we flipped a bunch of articles that had to do with the past year, the current pandemic situation, and thoughts about the upcoming year. A lot of them were positive. I mean, it was, again, it's a kind of a balance of positive and the challenges of the past year. But as positives, the U.S. colleges are hopeful about a more normal fall. Miguel Cardona made a very interesting set of statements about higher education needing to lead with a sense of urgency, which was very well presented. There was an anecdotal report on less sleep deprivation among students, because students are able, at least those students who are working in asynchronous pandemic situations, are able to get a bit more sleep in. I guess also, even people who aren't in asynchronous settings may have less of a commute. They may be able to wake up a little bit later.
Yeah, they can roll out of bed just a little bit later.
Yeah. But apparently this is helping a lot of young people. Let's see. There's reflections on remote learning over the past year, challenges and the good. So the good and the bad of that. The video games that got people through the pandemic. This was an interesting article. And hybrid teaching challenges. As we've mentioned in previous episodes, hybrid teaching is proving itself to be a very tricky thing to try to master for a lot of people, for good reason. The idea of having people remotely located and live and in person at the same time is a very tricky thing to try to manage. Our recommended read in this category is Why I Love Teaching on Zoom by Carl Moore for Forbes. Moore is a professor at McGill University, and this is a really interesting reflection on his personal experience in dealing with some of the positives and the challenges, but many of the positives of teaching with Zoom. One, for example, not trying to spoil anybody's reading, but that one of the advantages that he noticed was that it was very easy to get guest speakers into his class. He didn't have to wait for people to actually be in Montreal and available to come to his classroom. He could invite people from around the world and they could Zoom in, which is a nice thing to take away from something as challenging as a pandemic. Number three, our third trend, is research reports. We're happy to see these again. We haven't seen them for a while. Yeah. But we see there were a number of research reports that were released in the last 2 weeks that are of interest to people like you and me, Tim. And we are assuming that since it's interest to us, it's interest to anyone who's involved in ed tech or instructional technology or instructional design. We saw a report on ed tech spending in the U.S. We saw a report on the skills that students need in a post-pandemic world. These are survey results. Students were also reported to have suffered increasing mental health stresses during the pandemic. We were not pleased to see this, but we are interested to see what's going on and what we might do to help. Studies, this was interesting. It's a very small study. There was a study indicates that pen and paper beats stylus and screen for memory retention. This was a small study conducted by Japanese researchers, but it was, at least based on what we read about it, it was conducted very well, and it does have some interesting implications. There was also an analysis of the past 20 years of research on the use of virtual reality in education. again, a pretty broad analysis because we're talking about the last 20 years, and a good read. But our recommended read for research is actually not a specific report as much as it is a discussion of a new book that has just recently been released. The recommended read is How Children Read Differently from Books Versus Screens by Perry Klass for the New York Times. Now, this is an article that's actually reviewing Naomi Barron's new book, How We Read Now, Strategic Choices for Print, Screen, and Audio. But these are data-driven, research-based recommendations and strategic choices, and it's a very good article. So if you can only read one research-related article from the past 2 weeks, this is the one we suggest you read. Number four on our trending list is security and citizenship, which is a perennial with us. It comes up fairly often. We saw articles about how to wipe a computer clean of personal data, a call from tech companies to reinstate net neutrality in the United States. And these are big, you know, like Mozilla, you know, big tech companies. So they're actually asking for neutrality to return. Our recommended read in this area is Five Tech Commandments to a Safer Digital Life by Brian X. Chen for the New York Times. Now, for those of you who are listening, who are kind of part of the community of instructional technology, educational technology, instructional design, you're probably following these five tech commandments. But it's a really good read to share with colleagues, friends, people who you may want to help out with their security and safety. Mr. Chen does a really nice job of just laying out five key things that one should pay attention to. Tim, those are our four trends and our four recommended readings.
Thanks, Abby. So now we turn our attention to peering into the crystal ball and making predictions about the trends we believe we'll observe in the upcoming 2 weeks. And as we normally do, Abby and I discuss this prior to going on air. And again, if you followed us for any length of time, you're going to know a couple of them that we're probably going to, you know, they'll probably be their hardware software over the last year, you know, related to the pandemic. But we really think that we're going to see some more reflections on the pandemic.
And what I think we're going to see, Tim, also more reflections about what we want to keep.
Right.
From the pandemic experience in terms of instruction, what was valuable and helpful.
And as we've mentioned too, that's along the same lines of kind of rethinking what education is going to be. We keep thinking that that's going to coalesce into a trend too, and it may. We also talked about online teaching, right?
Well, it didn't come up this week. I mean, there were a couple of articles that related to online teaching, but again, they were framed in this sort of pandemic frame. But yes, online teaching, we saw a very few articles about instructional design specifically.
Right.
So we're hoping to see more in that area. We always like to see instructional design and online teaching strategy type of articles. Yeah, and research. Tim, you had mentioned to me that this is, to some extent, it's research season for us. CITE is currently a conference that's currently in session. AERA will be coming up soon, I think.
We believe so, in April.
Right. And so we're expecting to see more research reports released in the near future. I think that's what we see in the crystal ball right now, Tim.
It is. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of episode 182 of our podcast. We'd like to thank our viewers and followers of our Flipboard magazine and our podcast subscribers. You can listen to past episodes of our podcast and find the links to the recommended readings that we mentioned in this episode by visiting our website at trendsandissues.com. Our next episode will air on April 15th. And happy birthday, Paul, if you're listening.
This podcast is produced by Professor Abby Brown at East Carolina University and Professor Tim Green at California State University, Fullerton. Copyright Abby Brown and Tim Green.